Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Well, today, my friends, this is Tell Del. And again, we have an interesting story for you. We have a gentleman here in Southern California out of San Diego, and he has started his career as a software engineer, been doing that for many years. His wife was a cardiac tech, and like most Americans that are that successful, and not what I mean successful, I mean they have highly compensated positions, living in a nice part of the country, making large amounts of money. Something came along and made them decide they wanted to change all that. So they got into real estate investing, bought houses, apartments, syndication deals. They've done just about everything. So we're really interested to hear their story today. With me here today is just the husband, Steve Anderson. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Hi, Del, from a very hot San Diego. Good to talk to you.
How hot is it out there?
It's supposed to be 103 today at my house in the inland valleys of San Diego, so it's a toasty one again.
Wow, that is hot, man. That's funny. We had our hot stage about a month ago, or a couple weeks ago, and it was terrible. I hated it, so hope you're enjoying it. Hey, let's talk about successful people like yourself. You know, when I do these shows at Tell Dells, it's always about, all right, I don't, you know, who cares what Del Walmsley does? He's a, kind of a unique individual, kind of a freak. Let's talk about the normal guys out there, and we talk about the middle class, blue collar workers, and then we talk about white collar workers, and then we talk about, you know, really highly compensated individuals. And it's funny how within all of those strata of financial being, different people end up at the same place, realizing that it doesn't really seem to be working out the way they thought it would work out, or something sends them this direction. And I'm really curious about yourself, because you two, again, are a couple that are in the, you know, highly compensated area of income. You live in a really nice part of the country. You've got a great life, you know, or a good life. And they always, I always say, what gets in the way of a great life is a good life. So I'm really curious to find out. Tell us a little bit about your background, about yourself and your wife, where you come from, and what was it that stimulated this desire to look into something different?
Well, I've been in high tech for my entire career, and really enjoyed it. Do software engineering, project management, and architecture, and my wife has been in the medical field for many years. But I think our story is similar to a lot of people that have discovered lifestyles. You get to a certain point in your career, and you look at, is all the savings in my 401k really going to get me where I want to go? And you look at corporate life, you see layoffs around you over the years, and right now we're in a period where companies are struggling, and, you know, with Corona going on, and raises aren't there, and so a few years ago, we started investing in some single-family homes outside of Lifestyles Unlimited, and we did fairly good. But we really wanted to start protecting ourselves financially in the case of a job loss or you know, health issue or anything else coming up. And so we started investing in houses, and then we discovered you on the radio around 2015. And we joined just at the basic level. Really didn't do much the first year we joined Lifestyles, because we were out here in California, and that, at that time we didn't have all the fantastic networking we have going on now in California with Lifestyles. But we started investing in houses, and thought that we would do that in Lifestyles too, until we heard about multifamily. And we decided, you know what, multifamily is the better way to go. And so we never thought in a million years we could buy an apartment building with other investors. And so we have not bought another single family house since we joined. And in fact, right now I'm in the middle of selling a single-family house that I bought beforehand. And it's really been all multifamily passive investing for us since 2016.
Let's talk about right before you came here. You're now currently Southern California ambassador, which we thank you for, and we'll get into that more here in a few minutes, how you grew that group. But before that, you were someone that was a give-back kind of guy forever. And if I remember right from your story that you told me, that you used to teach for Dave Ramsey. Did you not, or am I just imagining that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because at about the time that I was investing in single-family homes outside of lifestyle, I had met a lot of people that were struggling with basic Finance 101 skills, and I had taken my kids through the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace class just to teach them the basics of finance, and I was actually we felt we got a lot out of it in terms of, you know, things that people should do, just, you know, just a basic foundation of skills. And so because I saw a lot of people that were struggling in that area, and, you know, they were using debt incorrectly and just doing things that just weren't financially intelligent, I decided to start teaching the Financial Peace class. So I did that for a few years. And ironically, this was when I was using debt to buy single-family homes, so I felt like a bit of a hypocrite while I was doing that. And so what I decided to do after, especially just before I got into lifestyles, I just decided, you know, I don't think I'm going to continue teaching this. I think some of the foundational skills are really good, but when it got into things like not using debt at all and paying off your mortgage, I just saw some real foundational issues in terms of wealth growing. And when I heard you talk about, you know, people that are really struggling financially should go to Dave Ramsey first, and then if you want to become wealthy, that you were standing up on the mountain and pulling people up, that pretty much knocked it out of the park for me, that I was going no longer the Dave Ramsey way, but the Del Walmsley way.
Yeah, and I think that you probably clarify it, that it's an extension. It's the next level. You wouldn't stay in first grade the rest of your life, right? You master
that's
those skills.
Sure. Yeah,
you master those skills and move on. That's the way it should be. You need those skills, right? They're the basis, but then you move on. And what's problematic is when someone tries to tell you you should stay in first grade the rest of your life. That's the only argument I've ever had with that, is that for never do you ever learn how to use the skills of leverage to your advantage. That's like saying to your daughter, you know, you're really doing well at riding a bike. I don't think you should ever learn how to drive a car because it's way more dangerous. You go, no, that's not what you teach them.
And they were just using the standard thing you read in Money Magazine and everywhere else, that, you know, throw everything you can at your 401k. And after watching that 401k go up and down and up and down, it's not the model to get wealthy and to build wealth. It's just not there.
Yeah, the 401k was touted quite a few years ago to be the end-all, be-all, but that was really a sales pitch to get us out of the companies being required to pay their pensions that they had all fallen flat on. And so, you know, the whole world had to come up with a new idea, and that was the 401k. It only took them 30 years to figure out it didn't work, because that was the life cycle of retirement from the time they put it together, right? So 30 years later, the people that were of that age, which we are, you wake up and go, man, that was a failed experiment at my expense for my 30 years of life, right? So luckily we were able to move on, and I did the same thing, moved on, you moved on. And now you've got quite a few apartment complexes, still some single families hanging around, and you're making moves. So we're going to talk about here when we come back from the break. You know, you've got your real estate paying for your son's college education, I believe. You've got the wife in a position where this is the year she's going to retire, if she hasn't already, this late
season.
She's
retired.
Okay, great. So we got her retired. And you've got a plan. 3 more years of working and building your portfolio. So you must have it really idealized as to what you need to live the life and the quality of lifestyle you want the rest of your life, because you've already got it hammered out. So, you know, that's wonderful. So all of that is a story that I want to get from you, because it's so well planned out And again, also we want to get a little bit of a difference from, okay, I did this from California, which a lot of people, when I first started this, thought California was not going to be a functional place for our program, and yet it's exploded, which you know because you helped explode it. So we'll take a short break, and we'll be right back with Steve Anderson, the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Walmsley talks about positive cash flow, tax-free.
I bought one little rent house. So a month later, I bought three more. Now I started receiving even more positive cash flow. $880 a month positive cash flow after just 2 months. This cash flow was tax-free because of the way I did it. Because if you know how to do it the right way, you won't pay taxes on that.
Give yourself a raise. Tax-free. Find out how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register today at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me today is Steve Anderson out of San Diego, California. Steve is the ambassador for the Southern California Group, 250, 300 people strong, if I remember the last time we counted. And he's built that from just like a group. I remember going out there and meeting them, and I think we had dinner with like 10 or 15 people. It was just ridiculously small. But, man, he brought it all the way up, so that's wonderful. Steve, before we get into the ambassador situation, let's talk about the choices of investments you made and why you made those choices. What was it about the multifamily investing that grabbed your attention?
I think the a couple of big things was that the returns on multifamily significantly outpace what you can do in a single family home, with the ability to increase the value of the property in so many different ways. So that was a really big one. Another one was passive investments, which is what I'm doing. I'm investing with others in apartment buildings. Is so easy. It's amazing. I find a lead. I study the deal. I invest in it, and then I get cash deposited into my account every three months, and then I look at financial statements. So there's hardly any time to do it. So people that are working full-time like me, it's the best thing you could ever name in terms of building your wealth, because there's just not a lot of work that has to be put into it. Now, if I compare that to my single-family homes, those are pretty easy too, but I'm deep into running the single-family home, so I'm making decisions and dealing with, putting in a new water heater or things like that. It's a little bit more work. It's not a lot more work, but it's the passive income the ability to generate wealth with multifamily just by far exceeds what I can do in single family.
Now, when you go to look for these deals, and you basically have choices of, I know there's last expo, there's over 250 different guys that were out there putting these deals together. And I know it's over 250 because we limited the number of people that could present to 250 at the last expo. And there was more that wanted to get in. So let's say 300 or better. They're all putting deals together out there all over the country. What are you looking for in a deal? Are you looking more for, and I always ask people this, are you looking for the horse or the jockey? Are you looking for the guy putting the deal together, his qualifications or her qualifications? Are you looking for the deal itself? Or how do you weight those in your decision-making?
Well, I always like to say that if you've got a good person putting a deal together and you've got an experienced person putting a deal together, that person's going to find a great deal. And so I would much rather have somebody that I have total confidence in to find a deal, because I know he's going to find a good deal and run it strongly. And so that's usually first. Now, I have swayed a little bit from that, because I have found some brand new leads that have never done deals. I've invested with several of them, and some of them have had some really strong real estate background but have never done a syndicated deal. And after talking with them and just seeing how their mind works, I could see that they had a very strong potential. And I'm talking with a new lead right now and considering a deal. I've actually done quite well with a couple of new leads because they had some very strong project management background and real estate background, and I've hit it out of the park a couple of times with some brand new leads too. So I think you really got to look at the big picture. If you have somebody that's done multiple leads, that's always a good thing. But if you want to get into a new lead that has great potential, you should not count them out either.
You know, there's some inherent benefits with a new lead, and not to put down an older lead. You know, somebody's already figured it out and done through it a few times. It's a lot easier for them. I mean, there's no doubt. It's just they know what they're doing. They know how to get it done, and so forth. And so I've pretty much invested with more mature leads. However, I will tell you this. As I consulted people, I used to tell people, you know, you want a little bit more bang for your buck, you might want to go with a beginner. And the reason for that is they take less override because they don't deserve to take a larger portion of the deal yet. They haven't built up the credibility to do that. And so they generally take a smaller amount of the deal, leaving you with a larger percentage of the profit. And secondly, they usually pick deals that are small because that's all they can afford to do it up front, in which case they don't want to stay in them. And the beauty of not wanting to stay in them is they want to sell them immediately or refinance them immediately within 1 year or 2 years to get their money back so they can go on to the next deal, which means you get that capital gain bump much quicker. Have you found any propensity for getting more capital gain bump either from refinance or sale on any choices of the people and deals you pick?
Oh, yeah. One of the first-time leads that I used, he had many, many years in multifamily management, but he'd never been an owner. And so he'd refied many, many properties in the past. He'd fixed up many properties, is what I'm trying to say. And so we bought a deal in Arlington, Texas, and we sold it in under 2 years, and I think we made about 27% per year. But he wanted to move on to the next big deal. He had a bunch of money in that deal, but that got him into bigger deals, which I also invested in with him. So definitely, and I know a California lead out here that started in Sacramento and made well over 100% in a year on his first deal and moved on to bigger and better things. So we've definitely seen some of that.
Well, that brings me into the next question, and that is investing in California, since you're the California ambassador, Southern California ambassador, I'm sorry, you have a very keen insight as to what's going on as far as the investors. Tell us about being an investor in California. I know that your Sacramento deal got done. I don't even know how many total deals have been done in California. You can clarify that for us if you have it. And that what everybody who, in this big, giant group of people you have, where are they investing at? What are they doing?
Well, I tell you, Dale, not many people invest in California. we have had a few people invest in the Central Valley of California because the numbers have looked similar to Texas in terms of prices and potential returns. So we've had multiple deals in Sacramento. We have a person that's done multiple deals in the Fresno area. But there's not that many people that want to do California, especially the coast. The coast just doesn't make sense because prices are just through the roof. And, you know, if you want a 3% cap rate, you know, go for it. But that's not what we want to do, generally. So most of us invest all over the country. I think I sent you a map of where I'm investing. I've got properties in Phoenix, Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, Kansas City. So we're all over the country. We've got people in, you know,
all right, well,
Florida.
Let's do this. Let's do this. We're going to take a break, Steve. So let's go ahead and pick that up when we come back on the other side of the break. We'll be right back with Steve Anderson, the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Yeah. Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Steve Anderson, multifamily, single-family investor out of Southern California. And Steve is the Southern California ambassador. They call themselves SoCal. And, you know, like everything in life, abbreviations drive me crazy because only the people who use them know what they mean. So I'm calling it the Southern Cal ambassador, and he's called the SoCal ambassador. But the reality is that this program, I created idea of education and hands-on help started 30 years ago. And we grew in Houston, we grew in Dallas, we grew in San Antonio, we grew in Austin, grew in Phoenix. And, you know, we finally decided we just got to take this thing nationwide. Everybody needs a shot at this thing. So we came up with this idea of finding the people that we call early adopters that are really excited, because we realize the need in any location for there to be that hands-on, touchy-feely transference of information and motivation. And so we went around and found people. Steve jumped out right away in the Southern California area. And I remember back, Steve, going to a dinner with you at a nice restaurant, and I swear there was only 15 people there. Is that about right? Or my, I think
yeah,
two or three or four of them were employees, I think.
Yeah, we had dinner over there in Coronado and just had a few people at that point.
So how did you grow that thing like that?
Well, it was interesting because when I joined Lifestyles, there wasn't anything like this, and that contributed to me starting out slow. And I had a friend in Austin who was doing fantastic with Lifestyles, and he really got me motivated. And so I came out to the expo, and when I was out there, I talked with JB from Lifestyles and asked him if there was a way we could start some networking out here. And so, of course, when you suggest something, the first thing people say was, "How about it? You do it, Steve?" So I was one of the early ambassadors. And what I did at the expo is I started looking at name badges and seeing if there was anybody from California, and started creating a list of people. And that started a group. The very first group that we had for dinner was four people in Southern California, but we also started a small email distribution list that covered Northern and Southern California. So over time, JB started sending more people to me and introducing me to more people as they joined. And so our group started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and so we've grown it up to like about 60 as a normal attendance at our meetings. And the distribution list has grown up to, I think, close to 250 now throughout California. And we do a lot of interacting with Northern Californians and Southern Californians. So we invite each other to groups, and people often fly down. Same with Phoenix. We're very in touch with what's going on in Phoenix, since that's a close market for us to invest in. And so it's grown quickly, and I think it's going to continue to expand quickly over time. So it's interesting, you know, people in California, they're highly taxed, very expensive place to live. So what Lifestyles does is it really draws in all of the people that are more financially conservative in California. Yeah, I just said California and conservative in the same sentence, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
But there are millions of financially conservative people in California, and this has just been a real draw in finding a more tax-friendly investment than what people have done in the stock market. And the excitement level out here at our meetings is through the roof when we get together.
You know, you just stimulated me to tell my California joke. You know that, right?
Let's hear it, Dale.
I can't help it. So I always tell people when I'm out eating dinner and whatever, and when California comes up, I say, California's a unique place. It's the one place in the world where you go to pay the highest amount of taxes to have the right to have your electricity turned off on a regular basis, your house burnt down on a regular basis, your land disrupted by earthquake on a regular basis, and on and on and on and on and on, and to have people sleeping on your front sidewalk and defecating there. But you got to pay a lot of taxes for all that beauty. So
we pay for the sunshine, I guess.
Pay for something. So, hey, I'm going to ask this question because it's a strange question to ask from what you've reported right now, of what you remember happening. Most people that come to Lifestyles, they immediately think that it's amazing how open people are with their financial situation and honesty and the networking and so forth. Yet you came in and you didn't get to touch that right away. When did you start to feel that? Was it at the expo or was it when you started having your own meetings? When did you finally figure out that this was a different group of people?
Well, I do something a little different than other people out of state. Whenever I come to the expo every year, but I don't just go to the expo. I always look to see if any other groups in Texas are having any meetings. And at the different meetings, such as I've been to Austin multiple times, at the different meetings, people do the case studies and they open their books and share. And then, of course, when we are at the expo, we do the bus tours through the different multifamily complexes and people open their books there, too. So that was really exciting to see that. And so what we've tried to do in California, we started it when the group was as little as 18 to 20 people. We've started to do the same type of thing. The nice thing about living in Southern California is we get numerous leads that are very interested in coming out here, having a little vacation, and presenting case studies to us. So it's amazing, the open books, really, to answer your question, the open books and the learnings that you get when you see how people operate their multifamily properties. It's just an eye-opener, and it benefits everybody. It benefits the passives. It benefits other people that are leading deals, and we work together as a big, solid, well-oiled team.
So this is a slightly different question and might even feel a little strange, but I'm going to go for it anyway, and that is for other people to come on the radio show here, and I talk to them, or even when I talk to them personally, one of the things that they tout is that there's this strange transference of social etiquette and or the group of friends you hang out with, to where most of us, that's a big statement, most, I'll say a lot of us, are in a situation, if you picked our 10 or 15 best friends that we hang out with all the time, they're Lifestyles members. Has that happened there yet, being that all you have is an ambassador structure and not an office live entertainment structure?
Oh, yeah, that definitely is happening out here. We do quite a number of things, together, people that live close by. So, I've invited people over that are here in San Diego. We do events where we bring people in to restaurants and things like that. A lot of my best friends are Lifestyles people. And the other interesting thing is friends that weren't Lifestyles people that I've enjoyed for many years, I've pulled them into Lifestyles, so now they're part of the Lifestyles family too. So most of them, when they see what I'm doing, they're like, I want to know more. And I probably brought in at least a dozen people into Lifestyles that are close friends of mine.
That's an interesting point, Steve, because like minds, birds of a feather flock together, good minds think alike, all those type of statements come out of the fact that people really do, birds of a feather flock together, it's the easiest way to say it. They do accumulate groups of people to hang out with that are most like-minded to them. And if, you're conservative financially and you want to be successful and retire, then that's probably somebody you're going to hang out, which is where we're going to go with the next segment, because that's a perfect segue into, let's talk about your plan. And right now, this segment ends in about a minute and a half. So let's start with, what was your plan, three-step plan you had for Lifestyles Unlimited's involvement?
Well, we set up three goals from the very beginning. When I was doing my single-family homes before Lifestyle, I was probably paying for about 15% of my kids' college with the cash flow that I was generating from those. And I wanted to bump that up significantly. So we now have child number three in college, my son Josh. And since we've started investing in multifamily, 100% of his college is being paid for by passive income. So that was goal number one to get.
All right, we're going to have to take a break and come back to goal number two. We'll be right back with Steve Anderson, the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Del Walmsley on Having a Plan.
The year I got cancer and could not work for 8 months, I lost 50 pounds. I want to tell you that I made $4 million that year. I made more that year than any year I'd ever made previous to that in my life. And I'm not telling you that to impress you. I'm telling you that to impress upon you. I didn't go to work for 8 months. That's a plan.
Create your plan at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Radio show here on Tuesday. We call this the Tell Del Tuesday, where we bring in someone that's a member and share their story. With me here today is Steve Anderson out of San Diego, California. He's the Southern California ambassador, and he's also a multifamily investor, single family investor. And we were going over his goals. He and his wife had set up a family set of goals from the very beginning when they started, and his first goal was to get his or to bring about the financing, passive invest financing of his son's college degree, in which he's got that occurred, as he said in the last segment. So I want to bring him up. Steve, we'll bring you back in here. You got one out of the three done. What are the other two goals, and how are you coming on those?
To retire my wife, Stephanie, she, and this got accelerated. She had a major injury just walking around the neighborhood. She fell down and broke her wrist so bad that she had to go on disability, and actually had to have earlier this year she had to have her wrist completely rebuilt. And because she's a cardiac tech in a hospital, she really couldn't use the wrist to do her job anymore because she has to lift patients and other things. So fortunately we were at the point at the beginning of the year where we could just say, you know, it's time for you to retire. And so she ended up retiring in April, so we checked that goal off. That was goal number two. Our third goal is to really work toward retiring me. And with that, we've been increasing, spending a lot of time working on increasing our passive income so that we can eventually replace my income. You know, one of my thoughts, which I mentioned earlier in the show, is because I work for a large corporation, you never know when the next layoff is around the corner. And so this was also a goal to protect myself so that layoffs wouldn't be painful to me if that hit me. This year it's been kind of interesting because we have been told we're not going to have any raises this year because of the COVID. And I estimate that my increase in passive income this year is probably going to be 10 times what normal raise I would have gotten by increasing the passive income this year alone. And I've also just had a cash out refis this year. I've made more money with cash out refis than my annual income. So we're moving along pretty quickly. We take all that money and reinvest it into more properties. And so that's why I want to continue to work for a few more years, because I enjoy my job, but I want to continue to invest in properties so that 3 years from now I'll have a very large stream of passive income. And my son's college education that is being financed with passive income will just come right into my retirement when it's done paying for his college. So in the next few years we should be in fantastic shape. And that's good for a very expensive place that we live here in California.
Yeah, I was speaking to a guy the other day that had that challenge. He was wondering why everybody was able to retire except him. Then I looked into his cost of living. I go, you know, dude, you're living, you know, like probably two or three times the actual average standard of living. And he wanted to know why buying a few pieces of real estate didn't cover it all.
Yeah, but you can do it in California. We've had members out here that have retired after getting into enough investments to replace their income. So it may take a little bit longer out here because it is more expensive, but these are tax-friendly investments, and so you're actually making a lot more return than what you think about your job is. I mean, you don't have to earn as much as what your job income is to retire out here, so people always forget about that because these are such tax-friendly investments, but people are doing it out here. It just takes a little bit longer than, say, somebody in the middle of the country.
You know, that's interesting you bring up the tax situation. I was investing in a deal the other day, and it was in a taxable state. And I looked at the rate of return seemed sufficient for me to get into. And then I found out it was in a tax state, and I was going to have to pay state income taxes. And the state income taxes were only 6%. But you know the 6% state income taxes, after affecting the investment, brought the rate of return down below to what I could get just about anywhere else in any other deal. And I thought, wow, it's an amazing aspect of being tax deferred, tax-free, however you look at it, depending on what you do with it. You know, you can use the tax deferral system in many ways. So that's interesting. And you guys in California, you go up to 12% state income tax, don't you?
I think it's 13%, actually, if I remember right.
They just raise it again, I think?
It's crazy. It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, so that is a challenge, and hopefully the investments you get into are tax-deferred or tax-free, which allows you to overcome that tax disadvantage of being there in a taxable state. So that's a good thing.
Well, that's the big draw. That's the big draw for Californians is they're so highly taxed that real estate is the most tax-friendly investment you can possibly have. So that's the big draw.
The thing that was interesting to me, though, if you look at this, is that people that live in California generally have good income. And I'm not talking about the people laying on the street, the bums. I'm talking about, you know, the executive, the white-collar and up type people like yourselves. I can't think of it, you know, techs and so forth. And you're like, so you have good income. The deal is that the corollary between being able to retire is, I've retired a guy that only made, you know, I think it was like $17,000 a year, and he retired in 2 years. Well, he only had to replace $17,000 in 2 years, right? Or $17,000 a year. So it was very easy to replace that amount of income. If you have to replace $200,000 a year, that's a much more difficult situation. And or until you realize, and this is the part they have to realize, if you make $100,000 a year in California, or $200,000 a year in California, you're paying 42% federal income tax, 12% state income tax. So you're at 54. Then you got Social Security of 7.5 if you're working for somebody else. So that's 60. If you work for yourself, you're self-employed, then it's 67 because you're paying 15% Social Security. When you look at those numbers, then it's really different. Well, Steve, I want to thank you, first of all, for being a member and being successful. Second of all, for being the ambassador for Southern California. And third of all, for coming on the show and sharing your story with us. I thank you very much, and I appreciate what you do for Lifestyles.
Thank you, Dale.
For the rest of you out there, keep this in mind. Steve doesn't do this just to have a little more money. He's already got good income. He's doing it to convert to an incredible lifestyle. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.